Once again, we want to extend a hearty welcome to all of our visitors. We're certainly glad that you've come our way and hope you find all the things that we do are in God's will, pleasing to Him. And hope and pray that as you leave this place today, that you'll be built up and you'll be edified in the faith. You might want to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11 very quickly. We'll get to our text in just a moment. Just kind of a preface on that. You know, I love to do character studies of the Bible. I like to take individuals and look at what they were made out of, the kind of character they had, things of that nature. I enjoy doing that. Now, we're going to be talking a lot about John the Immerser this morning. But it's not really a character study, but it's more about how he taught and the things that he stood for. And I think that's important for us today. Because what a great example in many ways John the Immerser really was. Beginning in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 11, reading through verse 11, it says, "It came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Go and tell John the things which you have heard and see. The blind see, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me.' And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitude concerning John, 'What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in the king's houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there was not risen a greater than John the Baptizer. But he who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he.'" There are so many different angles and directions that we could go with this particular text here. So many different things that we can learn here. But as stated just a moment ago, my real goal in this lesson is to kind of take a look at John and his teachings. In our story here, the basic premise here is that John's disciples are sent by him to Jesus to find out, are you really the Christ, the promised Messiah, or do we still wait for the real Messiah to come? And Jesus tells them to go back to John and tell John of the miracles that they see, the message that they heard. And by that, John was going to know whether or not this was in fact the Christ. Jesus then turns to the multitudes and begins to talk to them, and he asks them questions concerning John. He says, "What did you expect to find in the wilderness? You go out into the wilderness, you hear about this man proclaiming the word. What did you expect when you went out there? A reed shaken by the wind? One in soft clothing?" Folks, when you stop and think about it, how silly that would be. You would not expect to go out into the wilderness to see somebody, hear somebody, and expect that man to be wearing a custom-made suit, would you? Just would be completely out of place. Should they have expected when they went out to the wilderness to find some frail or fragile man who was living off of the bounty of the earth? Of course not. And folks, that was not what they found in John. He was not like a frail reed, a fragile reed that would be easily swayed or easily broken under the slightest of pressure. Folks, John was not a man who was seeking to please men. He was a man who was seeking to please God. And folks, what a great example that is for us. What a great person to imitate in that sense. The prophets of old understood this concept of serving God. In Isaiah chapter 30, verses 8 through 11, Isaiah spoke to these people as being a rebellious people. At this point in time in history, God's people weren't concerned with following God. They were concerned with following man, who would not hear the law of the Lord, Isaiah said. And in fact, they were saying to the prophets of old, the ones who were being sent by God to them to correct them, they were saying things like, "Do not speak to us right things, but speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceits." In fact, they were to the point of saying, "Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us." That was their mindset. That was their heart. You go over to places like Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 30, and this is one of the saddest commentary on people you will read anywhere in the Bible, where Jeremiah says, "An astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesied falsely, the priests ruled by their own authority, and my people love to have it that way." My people love to have it so. The apostles, the inspired penmen of the New Testament, these writers understood this. When you go over to places like 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4, and it talks there about people who have itching ears. They want something other than the pure gospel taught to them. Folks, John understood the need to preach the whole counsel of God. John the Immerser understood the need to preach the truth that God had given man. So we want to look at some of those aspects of John and his teaching in this lesson. John preached God's message. You really need to emphasize that. He preached God's message. John was, I think, intensely interested in people. He wouldn't have done what he did if he was not. But you know, when I say that, at the same time, I'm going to suggest to you that John was probably no different than you and I are in many different ways. You know, like most of us, John may have wanted to have a little bit more approval here on earth. But of greater importance than that, John was concerned with what God thought. John's mission was clearly defined, and he did not depart from that course. He didn't waver from it. He didn't alter his course to suit men. In Mark chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, we read these words. "As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, and make his path straight." John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance and remission of sins. You see, when you look at the life of John did not go to these huge populated cities, did he? Nor did he take his message to only the elite and only the powerful. In fact, in many cases we read in the Scriptures where the gospel did not even appeal to the elite, did not appeal to the wealthy, did not appeal to those who were prestigious or powerful in the world's view. Those who really wanted to hear him came to him. Those who were really curious about this man who was out in the wilderness and he was living this rugged life, and yet he was preaching a message that many of them had never even thought about hearing, they would come to him. And then we go in the very next verse in Mark chapter 1 to verse 5, then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Look at the effect of that. Simply preaching and teaching God's word, and that word was repentance and remission of sins. Folks, it was the common people who looked to John's teachings. It was the common people who listened, who heeded his teachings. While the rulers oftentimes rejected it. Oh yes, they came sometimes, but not in honesty. Later on, Jesus would ask some of his Jewish leaders of that day, the baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me. We find that in Mark chapter 11 and verse 30. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Because of their dishonesty, and we'll explain that in just a moment, because of their dishonesty, these rulers of that time would not even answer him, would not give a response to him. You know why that was? It's because they listened to what this question was, and Jesus asked this question, and being the great logician that Jesus really was, the perfect logician that Jesus was, listen to what happens. If they said, well, it came from heaven, then Jesus is going to say, why did you not obey it? If it came from heaven, why did you not obey it? If it's for men, why did you even bother with him? And ultimately, we know that he was put to death. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. But now, getting back on John now and his teachings, he would not back down from teaching the truth. Didn't mean that he was mean-spirited about it. Didn't mean that he was harsh about it. It just meant that he loved the truth and he wasn't going to change what the message was to the people from God. You know, when you stop and think about it, and you go over to Matthew 14 and you read about John losing his head because of Herod and Herodias, quite possibly the last truth that he ever taught was so strong that it cost him his life. But you know what? He didn't change the message, did he? He still didn't back down. He stuck with God's word. It wasn't the diplomatic thing for him to do. It wasn't the politically correct thing for him to do, to tell Herod that he had no right to his wife. But he did it anyway, because it was the truth. Number two, and very closely connected to our first point, is that John stood firm for the truth. Yes, he preached God's message, but it was a sense of firmness in standing for the truth. There is little doubt in my mind that there was pressure on John to change the message, to kind of bend the truth a little bit, not stand quite so firmly for the truth. And the reason I say that, and I'll say this, and I've said it many times before, anybody who's ever preached the gospel, I can almost guarantee you, has had somebody come to them and tell them, it's just, it's just a little too much. You need to kind of soften it just a little bit. You need to ease up a little bit. You kind of need to water it down just a little bit. They won't use that kind of terminology all the time, but that's what happens. I can almost guarantee you everybody who's ever preached has had somebody come to them and tell them, yeah, you need to kind of soften it a little bit. But John would not bend at the expense of the truth of God. And sadly, I'm going to say this, there are plenty today within the church, outside of the church, who will tell men, you need to soften it. You need to kind of ease up on that just a little bit. And oh, more sad, sadly, is what preachers who do. Like John the Baptizer, those who would follow him, the Apostle Paul, for instance, would be equally firm for God's truth. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul simply put it this way to the church at Philippi, I am set for the defense of the gospel. Every time I read that, every time I think about that kind of expression, I get my mind in such a way that what I get a picture of is a man in the form of the Apostle Paul, but I don't know what he looked like, but his feet are set in concrete. And he says, I'm not going to be budged. I'm not going to give in. I'm going to uphold the truth. I'm set for the defense of the gospel. And I know a lot of people who own pit bulldogs and stuff like that have kind of gotten a bad rap, but I've also got the mindset of that bulldog tenacity of Paul here when he says, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. He had heard the truth, he had obeyed the truth, and he wasn't going to let go of the truth. Man, that's admirable. Well, that's John the Baptizer. That's John the Immerser. The same mentality. In fact, I would put it this way. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul put it this way. And I don't have any doubt that given different set of circumstances, maybe John says something similar to this. He says, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? In other words, the idea is if the truth makes me your enemy, I'm sorry about that, but I'm going to stay firmly entrenched in God's truth. Friends, we have to echo the words and the attitude that we find in Jude 3, that we must earnestly contend for the faith, the gospel of Jesus Christ, which was once delivered to the saints, once and once only. Number 3 point. John pointed people to Christ. That was his job. Prepare the way. Prepare the paths. Make them straight. Because he was the forerunner of Jesus. He was the one who was going to point people to Jesus Christ. And he pointed people to Christ. Folks, that's what our job is, isn't it? As Christians, as members of the body of Christ, our job is to point people to the one and only one who can save their souls. And that's Jesus the Christ. You know, preaching was never about John. Preaching and teaching the Christ to come and the hope of eternal salvation that man would have in Christ was never, never about John. In other words, look at me. It was about being one who would preach Christ and him crucified that Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2. Early on in his ministry, John saw Jesus coming to him and he said, listen, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Early on, John sees Jesus coming and he says, this is the Lamb of God. The sacrificial Lamb of God, that which was necessary in order for sins to be removed. He says, here comes the very Lamb of God, the Son of God, who takes away the sin of the world. John 1, verse 29. It wasn't about John. Through his preaching and affirmation of Jesus as the Christ, John would fulfill his mission. He would fulfill his ministry, his work here on earth, by preparing the way of the Lord. John didn't ever say, hey, look at me. John the Immerser did not ever say, hey, look how great I am. Hey, where's my kudos? Where's the crown or the stone or the crown that I'm supposed to be wearing? Why aren't you looking at me? Whether speaking to the multitudes in the wilderness or just a handful of poor souls in prison that were with him. John never forgot the mission that he was sent on. And it wasn't about him. That's the way it ought to be with us. As followers of Christ, don't be concerned about who gets the credit or doesn't get the credit. When somebody hears the gospel and obeys the gospel, forget who gets the credit. Be thankful that they came to Christ and that you can just in some small way help them see that they needed Jesus Christ as their Savior and what to do about it. Not once did he ever try to steal the limelight from Jesus. He recognized who his Savior was too. So much so that he acknowledged in John chapter 1 and verse 27 that he was not even worthy to unloose the straps from the feet of the sandals of the feet on Jesus. He was not even worthy of that. John proclaimed concerning Jesus, he must increase, I must decrease. John 3 and verse 30. It was never about him. It was always about pointing people to Jesus the Christ. It was always about leading people in the right direction. John affirmed his work to point people to Christ when he said, you yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but have been sent before him. John 3 and verse 28. He said, you're bearing yourself witness of me. Your evidence is pointing that what I'm saying is correct, that I in fact am not the Christ. All I'm doing is one to be sent before. I'm the forerunner to prepare the way, to get people ready for the coming of the promised Messiah. And again, we note that men like Paul followed in the footsteps of John on this point. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, to the churches of Galatia, Paul would write this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, and yet it is not I, but Christ who lives in me. It's not about Paul, was it? He said, I'm crucified with Christ, and it's not about me. It's about Christ who lives within me. Folks, this should be our goal as well, to point people to Christ, to direct people, to show people. Why? Well, I think Peter explains it very well in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 when he was speaking to his audience. He says, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which you can be saved. One name, Jesus Christ. All the religions in the world, all the things that are going on in the world, all the belief systems that are out there in the world, there is one and only one Savior. And that is Jesus the Christ. One and only one who shed his blood on the cross for our sins, and that's Jesus the Christ. One and only one that by following, we can hear those marvelous words, enter in, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of your Lord. Oh, what a marvelous thought that is. John pointed people to Christ, and so must we. May we all share the dedication and the courage and the purpose that John the Immerser had. May we all, always and everywhere, boldly proclaim God's message of salvation to a lost and dying world. And that salvation is through Jesus Christ. May we always stand firm in God's truth. May we always point others to Christ and then allow them to allow Christ to lead them. If there's anyone here who's never been obedient to the gospel call, never put your Lord and Savior on in baptism, we ask the simple question, why not today? If you know what you need to do to be saved, you've never been immersed to have your sins washed away, Acts 22 and verse 16. For the remission of sins, Acts chapter 2, 37, 38. Then make that decision today. Maybe if you need to study some more, we would be happy to do that. We'll set up a home Bible study. We'll set up whatever is necessary to help you to come to realize that there is one and only one Savior in this world, and that is Jesus the Christ, just like John preached, just like John was the forerunner of. Maybe it's the case that you are a child of God. You strayed away. You need to come back to God and come back on His terms. Again, can you think of a better time, a better day, a better moment than this to come back? You will not find a better one. But if whatever your need may be obedient to the gospel call because you already believe, you're ready to repent, you're ready to confess your sins before men, and you're ready to confess Christ as the one and only Son of God, then you're ready to be baptized and have your sins washed away. Won't you come right now as we stand and sing this song? Wow.